I thank you for your warm welcome, and it is a wonderful opportunity to be here, and it's good to see all of you, and to be seen by all of you in an upright position. As he was talking in terms of working with the prison ministry, I work with the prison ministry for over 20 years. I've been in some form of law enforcement, but mostly with the Department of Corrections as a chaplain, and before that as a case manager. Had an opportunity to share the gospel and be blessed by many inmates whose lives were changed. Now, where are they now? God knows. God knows. We had the blessed opportunity of baptizing into Jesus Christ over 500 inmates. And we thank God. Well, give the Lord the praise for that. I am just thankful. I'm just thankful that we had a ministry where God could work. Unfortunately, our congregation, our home congregation, closed its doors because of lack of energy. And so we're attending another congregation, which so far we're adjusting okay. Adjusting okay. I'm glad for the opportunity to speak with you this morning, and I would like to encourage you to please work with me on this message. Some of this is going to be rather personal. No offense is meant for anyone, but it is intended to be up close and personal. The first scripture I have here as my base is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know this passage by heart, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In the context, Jesus is saying to many, don't worry about what God is going to provide for you in the form of food and clothing. He takes care of the lilies of the field. He takes care of the birds in the air, and you're so much more to him than those. He'll take care of you. Now, I want you to think about that verse. I lifted it out of context, and I'm going to use it this morning, but I wanted to start with this thought. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, I recently heard a preacher quoted, and though he lived in another era, I found his words most applicable. He said, anything by which we glorify God is a talent, our gifts, our influence, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of Christ's church are advantages and possessors of the Bible. All are talents. Now, you might not think about those things as God's gifts to us, but we all have them. Now, I want you to talk to yourself for just a moment. Since God has added these gifts to you, these traits, these gifts to you, how are you as a steward of these gifts? How are you as a steward of these gifts? How are you using your talents in the kingdom of God and in the community where you dwell? Are your talents regarded as significant? Are you seen as one who pours out one's heart into the work of the Lord and volunteer work into the community? Some of you are saying to yourself, but Brother Scotty, you don't know me. My contributions are minimum. I cannot do much for the kingdom. My contributions are minimal. And I say to you, why is it that we sell ourselves short? Why do you sell yourselves short? Do you realize that you have more than one talent? There was a guy in the New Testament Jesus was talking about. God had given him a talent, but instead of using it, he buried it in the ground. He buried it in the ground. Hopefully you're not burying your talents. Hello? There was a preacher in Louisiana, radio preacher. His name was O.E. Howard. And O.E. Howard, as he would speak and as he tried to make a point, he would say, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" The problem is not that we lack skill. It's not that we have no talent. It might be that we're not sure where and how to serve God. But let me tell you this. There is work needed to be done. Work on every hand. So God calls us. He calls us to work. Now, would you look closely at yourselves and be honest? Examine your hearts, your God-given ability, and ask, how can I advance God's cause using my gifts and my talents? Brethren, in order to impress upon you the importance of using your gifts and your talents in behalf of the church and the community, I want to place before you three important realities for your consideration. And here's the first one. Christians are called to serve. Christians are called to what?
Serve.
You're listening. Christians are called to serve. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I have it here. That's why I don't have my Bible with me. My Bible is heavy. I use it at home, but carrying it around, it's difficult. So I have the scriptures here. Ephesians 2, 8 says, "For by grace you have been what?
Saved
through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, as for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." So we are prepared by God to go out and carry out the works of God. That means we're called to serve. Now, brethren, there's no getting around it. There's no two ways about it. We are called to serve the church and our neighbors. God has saved us that we might serve. Galatians 5:13, you don't need to turn to it, but it says that we are to serve one another. Now, may I share this with you? Serving sometimes means working when it's not convenient. Let me talk about, John, I hope you won't mind, John. I'm going to embarrass you for just a moment. We were eating at McDonald's. John had picked me up from Brother Paul's place, and we were eating at McDonald's, and a lady came and she says, "My car is stalled. My car is stalled. Would you give me a jump?" Well, John said, "Well, sure." And he went out to give her a jump, and he was out there for some time, and he could not get it started. So he said to me, "We're going to go ahead and give her a ride home." And we did. On the way home, she gave us a card with her name on it. She does housekeeping. And this woman is very vocal. I mean, she likes conversation. Herein is an opportunity, a contact, as a result of doing good. You did it. And as a result, the church may have an opportunity. Now, those types of opportunities God puts before each and every one of us. Sometimes we might shun away. Sometimes we might say, "Well, I can't help you. I don't have the time." Like the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest passed over here, and the Levite passed over there. They didn't want to get involved. But when you can, when we can, we must be involved. Serve when the cause is very important, and you're the one who can resolve the problem. Serve when you can, and serve unanimously. Here's the word there, anonymously. Sometimes you don't get recognition. Sometimes people don't know about the good thing you did for someone else. Serve anyway. Serve by becoming a part of a group that is seeking to help others. And some of you have done that. I know that many of you are supporting this homeless project. You're buying foodstuffs, you're buying toiletries, and you're working together to help the lives of the homeless. God bless you. You're serving consistently. No one has to ask you. You're there at the front of the line, giving yourself to the work of God. You're serving automatically, and you're serving unselfishly. Those are the kinds of people that God is looking for. God is looking for more people to serve. I know that in the nursing home ministry there on Thursdays, John, the two barbers, where are the two barbers? Where are you? I can't. Oh, okay, they're in the nursery. Thank you, barbers. Walter and John and Eleanor, everybody's working together for the good of encouraging. John plays music, the folks sing. We had a lady singing the other day, and she sang, and she sang, and she sang. Well, praise God. She says, I'm happy when I'm singing. Well, that's good. We want to bring happiness to those settings. Now, I want to encourage you not to grow weary as you serve. As you serve, don't grow weary. I see Brother Bob has a class on James that he's finishing this week. He's going to do the harmonies of the Gospels. If you can, attend. Encourage your teachers. Thank your preachers, those who stand before you. And you know what, Scott? You and your crew do a very fine job on the music. Amen? Yeah. That's right. That's right. But every once in a while, you might want to say something to them. Go up to Scott and put $1,000 bill in his hand. You know, say something to him to encourage him. But amen. But thank the people who serve this congregation. Let me ask you, looking at your talents, can you sew? Can you cook? Can you put up sheetrock? Can you and would you transport people and their things? How about painting? In their homes or downstairs? How about shoveling snow? How about baking cakes, pies? Would you volunteer for building cleaning? Would you share food with your neighbor in a food bank? Would you do good lawn work for someone who can't cut the grass for themselves? Would you impart sound reasoning to someone who is in need of wisdom and sound reasoning? Would you influence people to do good? How many of you have gone to college, had some college? Okay, somebody encouraged you to think about that, to consider taking college courses. Some of you may have graduated. I was encouraged to go to college. How many of you joined the military? How many of you served in the military? Bill Paul didn't put his hand up, but Bill Paul served in World War II. And those of you who serve in the military, we thank you for your service. Maybe someone influenced you for good to join. You can be an influence to other people. All of you can pray and visit the sick. You can take cards, greeting cards, drop them in the mail. You can call on people who are not attending as often as perhaps they could. You can communicate the gospel and support others who are doing the same locally. You can share food with your pantry here. You can mend furniture. And there are many other things that you can do. Can you perform these needed works in the church and in the community when called upon? Sometimes people hang back. Why not step forward? The work that needs to be done can be done by you, Not necessarily by yourself. There's a team here. You can ask other people to help. But we're hoping that you can and that you will volunteer. You're called to serve. Here's the second thing I want to emphasize. Christians are called to save. Christians are called to save. The first one was Christians are called to what? And now the Christians are called to save. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Great Commission states this way, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them," who's them? All nations, "to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you even always, even to the end of the age." Now, when he says to baptize and to teach all nations, he's talking about those who are different from us in color and nationality, in religion. You mean even our enemies? Yes. Yes. How can enemies become friends except the gospel of Christ? The United Nations is a stopgap for the gospel. They're trying to unite the world, but there's only one thing that can unite the world. And that's the love of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ saves us. The love of Christ unites us. And we need to be able to take the love of Christ through the message of Christ. He depends on you. Every one of us are evangelists. Bill, you've been evangelist for well over 50 years. But everyone sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, has the same calling to take the work out. You don't have to be a pulpit evangelist, but you can be an evangelist on a one-on-one as you witness to others concerning the cause of the gospel. Hello? Are you listening? Since all servants of God are responsible to take the gospel to the whole world, consider your evangelistic efforts. Do you know how to evangelize? Have you ever shared the gospel? Some of you have shared the gospel in casual settings. Well, how do you do that, Brother Scotty? What I suggest you do, first of all, is live the Christian life. Walk the walk and talk the talk. If you're not living the Christian life, you can't tell people about Christ. It's hard for the Spirit to work through you if you're not consistently living the Christian life. Change your speech, your behavior, your old habits. You may even have to abandon some of your old friends. Let people see the changes in you, beginning with your family. Don't be ashamed of Christ. You know, we go to restaurants, and one preacher used to say, but some people in the restaurant that are Christians, before they pray, they drop the handkerchief and say, "Thank you, God, for this meal we're about to eat," as they pick up the handkerchief, because they're ashamed to just bow their head to the table and pray. I hope that's not you. I hope that's not us. When we pray in a public setting, people stop and they notice. I've had people say, "Well, sir, I noticed that you pray before your meal." Yes. Thank God for what we have. He says, "Thank you for your example." Okay, didn't realize it had an impact on anybody. It was just something we do. Get in the habit of praying publicly like that. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Christ is not ashamed of you. He is your brother. He shared his blood with you. He shed it for you. Hello? Hello? Amen. Share your faith by giving your testimony. It's a vital part of you. From the heart, tell a friend what Christ has done for you, how he died on a cruel cross, shed his blood for your sins. Now, that is if this testimony is real. If this testimony is real, you can share it. If it's not real, then work on yourself that you might have a real testimony. I came out of the occult. I practiced magic for 3 years. Now some of you say, oh, well, that was my sin. You have sins too. I practiced white magic, thought I was doing good. But it turns out that magic is two sides of the same coin, black and white, it's the same. I've seen things, experienced things that I wouldn't encourage anybody to undergo. But Christ saved me from that. Saved me from that. We need to read and to study our Bibles. And we need to hang out with experienced soul winners. Brother Paul, Brother John, Brother Art, and there are others who know how to win souls. Get with them and say, show me how to be a soul winner. Maybe you could have a class here. Maybe you have had classes. Study what you've been taught. Here's my last point this morning. Remember, Christians are called first to serve. Secondly, we're called to... Now I want to mention that in order to do that, Christians must experience the call. Must experience the call of sacrifice. In order for you to do these things, you must sacrifice. You must sacrifice. It may not be convenient for you to serve. It may not be convenient for you to conduct that Bible study. It may be uncomfortable for you to go into that setting. Serve anyway. Save souls anyway. Sacrifice anyway. The Lord Jesus sacrificed his life. He gave the supreme sacrifice. And you are called to do no less. One thing that we need to change is our thinking. You know, we have this primary thinking that I'm called to work this job, to pay for this beautiful home, to have these cars, to pay for my hobbies, to play for my playtime. But you know what? The scriptures indicate that we have one single priority. If you would, please, turn to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Solomon, supposedly the wisest man in the Old Testament, said in Ecclesiastes 12 that from a man's youth to his last breath, he is called to be mindful of God and to follow his commandments. To follow his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Notice what he says. I didn't write it. He wrote it. The end of the matter, all have been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the what? The whole duty of man. This is the most important priority. And verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, whether good or evil. So why not spend your time doing good deeds? If he's going to call you and examine all of your deeds on the day of judgment, why not have the good deeds stack up against the evil deeds? The deeds of your life reflect who rules your heart. Let me say it again. The deeds of your life reflect who rules your heart. Why not have the best deeds? Does God rule your life? Action is required today. You and I are called to perform random acts and deeds of service to one another and to the world. Christians take action both in the church and in the community to impact the world. These deeds of kindness show the love of Christ to the world. That's how the early church won people, by being good to their neighbors. And the Roman government took stock. They took note of these things. And you know what? The scriptures indicate that the kingdom of God outlasted all the previous kingdoms, even throughout the centuries. The kingdom of God is still here. 21 centuries later, we are still here. You You have an opportunity to be a part of something big. Even if your deeds are small, one little deed, a good deed, advances the kingdom. Big deeds advance the kingdom too. But you might have a neighbor who might need a need. You can step up and do that one little thing for that neighbor, and you have advanced the kingdom. If we look at our lives, we see the activities in our lives should be more about what God wants. And God wants Christians to serve, He wants Christians to save, and He wants Christians to sacrifice. Will you be a Christian who serves, who saves, and who sacrifices? Lord bless you.